Just give us a moment. Every Sunday, comes time to preach, and more than half of them leave. And I'm like, "What are y'all doing?" All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke, chapter number 6. I do want to say thank you so much for coming today. I know some of you could have been many different places, but we're so grateful that you chose to come to church this morning and be with us, and we Can't say thank you enough for that. We really do appreciate it. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. This is at the end of Luke's recording of the Sermon on the Mount. And so I'll read those last few verses, verses 46 through 49. And the sermon this morning is Jesus your Lord? Is Jesus your Lord? In Luke chapter 6, and this verse 46, Jesus said, "And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Let's pray. Our Father, we do want to thank you this morning for an opportunity to open up the scriptures and to look into the Word of God together. Lord, I know that we need the work and power of the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts this morning, to help us to hear what you would say to us as individuals. And we ask, Father, for that great work so that Jesus would be glorified, his will would be done on earth. We ask, Father, if there are any here in this service that are they know Jesus, they know about him being Lord, but Jesus is not the Lord of their life. We ask, God, that you would help them to come this morning and surrender their life to Jesus, that Jesus would become Lord and Master. We pray, Father, for those Christians who've gotten caught up and entangled in the world, and really can't say, as they look at their own heart, "Jesus is the Lord of my life," that may they come this morning, and Lord, that you would set them free and reestablish their walk with you. And we ask, God, that you just help each of us deal with our hearts and help us to hear your voice, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Of course, Luke is recording for us the Sermon on the Mount that you will read also in Matthew's gospel, especially Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And as he ends this great sermon, and if you want to look at how what Jesus expects and the gospel, what the message of the kingdom of Christ is, it would be good for you to go and study through that Sermon on the Mount. And so you'd have an ideal. This is the kind of person Jesus wants me to be as I live a life that tries to emulate who Christ is in the world. But as he closes the sermon, he warns us about false prophets. By the way, in our day, it's still true, there are false prophets that abound. They're endless. There are religions that will not draw you closer to God. They will cause you to abandon him. They will turn your eyes away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you have to be careful about many false prophets in the world. And Jesus said, you can tell a false prophet by how they live, their fruit. As Islam is on the increase in America, all you have to do is look at their prophet and see that he bore evil fruit. I don't know why anyone would want to follow a prophet that bore such evil fruit, but there are billions of people that are doing that. And by the way, if you just look at it honestly, I think you'd have to agree with me that he was nothing like a prophet. He was more like a warlord. And so Jesus said, look at their life, and you can tell by their life whether they're true or not. And then he gets down to people who are professing the same truth, say they believe the same truth, they follow the same Savior, that it's not a false teacher that they have followed. But Jesus said there's still something missing. It's not a false teacher that they've gone after. These people, Jesus addresses at the closing of his sermon, say to Jesus, Lord, Lord. They're not bowing the knee to Baal. They're not bowing to some false religion. They're not following after the teaching of Muhammad or Buddha or something like that. These people say, yes, I know the Bible's true. Yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They don't deny the facts. If you press them about any truth concerning the scriptures, they'll say, yeah, I believe that. Of course I believe that. That's why in America, if they do a survey about how many people are Christians in America, they still come up with a number of over 230-something million of us. Wow. And you'd think if that's true, America should be a whole lot different than what America is. So what's wrong? Why is it there's so many people in America can say, yeah, I believe Jesus is Lord, but America not look like Jesus is Lord at all? Because there's some who are professing that to be true, but their life is demonstrating something totally different. And that's what Jesus wants to address. He said, I'm not interested in your words. I want you to walk, to live in a way that testifies that I am the Lord that you both know and love and serve. Now, you and I have to examine our own heart, because in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said this on the day of judgment. Now, to me, I'll be honest with you, this is a frightening verse. The same sermon, Matthew's just recording the words a little different, but Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. That means this. Some people on the day of judgment, they'll say, okay, I know Jesus. And their name is called, they're standing before Jesus, and they say, Lord. And Jesus says, I've got news for you. You're not going to go to heaven. Can I be honest with all of us this morning and listen? This is the fact. If you don't go to heaven, you go to hell. There is no third option. Right? It's either one or the other. You're either in or you're out. You're either saved or lost. Either born again or not. There's no in between. And he says to those who say, Jesus, I'm so glad you're here. Lord, he said, I don't know you. Listen to what he goes on to say. They'll not enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Listen, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. Listen to what these people say. Have we not prophesied in thy name? Listen, this is what this means. That means they proclaimed the name of Jesus. They preach the name of Jesus. And some may even have had some prophetic statements as they said, Jesus told me to say this and that. Can you imagine standing before Jesus and you've given some prophetic statements, or you've preached about Jesus and Jesus said, look, I don't know you. You're not entering heaven. Listen to what else he goes on to say. Not only those that prophesied in his name. Listen to this carefully. This is Matthew 7. And he said, and in thy name have cast out devils or demons. Now, how many of you have cast out a demon recently? Anybody cast out a demon recently? I think Corey raised his hand halfway now. No demon caster outers here this morning? These people are saying, we have accomplished this, Jesus. We did this ritual. This person was demon possessed, and that demon was cast out. And then they finally end by saying this also. Then they said, in thy name have done many wonderful works or miracles. They said, Jesus, we know you. We preached about you. We've cast out demons in your name and even have performed miracles in your name. Now, listen, they are certain that they're going to go to heaven when they die. right? But notice what Jesus goes on to say in verse 23. And then on the day of judgment, they're anticipating heaven. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart, listen, depart from me, ye workers, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity or lawlessness. Jesus said, your life never backed up your comments, statements, public activities. You got on the stage and you said, Jesus is Lord, and you've done all these miracles, and then behind closed doors, you live like the devil. You know how many people go to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and then they get home and they act like they don't know anything about the Bible or Jesus at all? You want to know what's wrong with Christianity in America? That's what's wrong with Christianity in America. We think that we can have Jesus and our sin. We think that we can live in obedience and disobedience at the same time. We think it really doesn't matter how I live. I went to the altar one time, Brother Lewis, and I prayed this prayer and asked Jesus to save me. And since I prayed that prayer, asked Jesus to save me, I know I'm going to go to heaven when I die. And he said, wait a minute, friend. That is not what Jesus said the gospel was. Pray a little prayer. Repeat after me. If you're trusting that you're going to go to heaven because you prayed a prayer one time, you're going to be sadly mistaken. Because there needs to be a new birth.
Right.
There needs to be a change in your heart. Yes. True salvation is God comes and takes the stony heart, that is that rebellious heart, self-willed heart, I'll live my life and do what I want heart. He takes that out and he gives you a soft, fleshly heart that says, Lord, I love you. I'll do your will. I'll serve you. You're the most important one in my life. If you have not had a heart transplant, don't fool yourself in thinking that heaven's going to be your eternal home, because you might find yourself in the flames of hell. Notice Jesus says this morning, Conan and Ollie, good to see you today. This is what they proclaim. They proclaim Jesus is Lord. You said, preacher, I didn't think anybody could say Jesus is Lord unless the Holy Spirit of God allowed them to say that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3, that's not a contradiction to what Jesus is saying here.
No.
How do we know it's not a contradiction? First of all, Jesus said there were people that were saying that.
Yes.
Yes, unsaved people can make that statement. In fact, unsaved people can affirm it. They can say, that's true, I know that. I mean, how could it not be true? If Jesus is who he says he is, he must be Lord. But they can acknowledge that fact and never, never let it transform their life. And that's the problem. So they can announce, yes, preacher, I believe Jesus is the Lord. But if that's true, listen to me, please. If that's true, it should affect your conduct.
Yes, amen.
It should change your character.
Yes.
It should make you do and act in a different way. If Jesus is indeed living in your heart, he should be seen somewhere.
Amen.
I've told this story before, and I hate to bore you with the same illustrations, but a father and son was walking along, and the little boy said to his dad, hey, Dad, how tall do you think Jesus was? He said, son, the Bible doesn't say how tall Jesus was. You know, he said, he probably wasn't the average height. He said, I'm 6 foot or so. And he said, well, how tall am I? He said, son, you're about 4 foot tall. He said, well, Dad, if Jesus is living in me, shouldn't he be poking out somewhere? But listen to me, if Jesus is living in you, he should be poking out somewhere. And listen, please listen. If he's not poking out somewhere, he's not living in you.
That's right. You better say, yes.
And you say, preacher, what is the purpose? The purpose of this sermon is to keep you from standing before God on the day of judgment, you thinking, man, I can't wait to get into heaven. Look how beautiful those gates are. And he shuts the gates and he says, you can't come in. I was witnessing, we used to have a booth down at the flea market on Beach Boulevard. We had all kind of people come by and we tried to engage with them, the gospel. And one time I asked this person if she was a Christian. She said, yes, I'm a Christian. I said, well, how did you become a Christian? She said, well, I live in America. Now you chuckle at that, but you would be shocked at how many people think they're going to heaven just because they live in a certain part of America. Are their grannies singing in a church choir? We used to have children we brought here on the bus ministry, and their parents moved here from Syria, and the man, the husband of that family, I sat down with him and talked to him about becoming a Christian. He said, preacher, y'all got it all wrong over here. Over there, if you're born into a Muslim family, you're a Muslim.
That's right.
And if you're born into a Christian family, you're a Christian. I said, sir, that is not how it works. Not here and not in Syria. Nowhere it works that way. Just because your dad was a Christian, that didn't make you a Christian. You know what your dad had to do to become a follower of Christ? He had to turn from his sin and embrace Jesus as his Savior. And when he did that, when he believed on the Lord, God changed his heart through the new birth, and your dad became a follower of Christ because he put his faith and trust in Jesus.
Amen.
And the only way for you to go to heaven when you die is to do likewise, turn and put your faith and trust in Jesus. They say Jesus is Lord, and let me tell you something, without a doubt, he is. There is no Lord like Jesus. In fact, you cannot even be a Christian without acknowledging Jesus as Lord. Did you know that? In Acts chapter 16, in verses 30 and 31, Paul's with the Philippian jailer. The gates have been opened and they're all still there. He rushes in with the light and brings Paul and Silas out. And he says to them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul says this in Acts 16:31. They said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Listen to me, and thy house. Now, it doesn't mean when I become a follower of Christ, automatically all of my family members are born again and they don't have to become a follower of Christ. It means if I follow Christ like I am supposed to follow Christ, my family will come and embrace Christ as well. Please hear me this morning. The opposite of that is true. If I reject Jesus as my Savior, guess what my family might do most likely? They also will reject Jesus as their Savior. Amen? You can't have, listen to me, you can't have one of these truths and not the other. Right? If you get saved, your family will become saved. If you don't follow Jesus, your family most likely won't follow Jesus either.
That's right. Amen.
And how many family members this morning here today can testify as they preach that's absolutely true?
Yes, amen.
I would to God I could rewind the clock. Listen to me, some people would say this. I wish I could rewind the clock, preacher. And go back when my children were little.
Yes, amen.
Embrace Christ as my Savior and live for Christ in front of them and pray over them and take them to church and share the Bible with them. I would to God I could do that because then I would most likely see my own family and my family's family and my family's family family following Jesus. But I can't rewind the clock.
Right.
You can't rewind the clock. But some of you who may not have received Christ as your Savior yet, you can come to Christ and be an example of what it means to follow Jesus.
Amen.
There's still hope.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
There's still hope that God will transform your heart, and by changing your heart, he may change someone else's heart as well.
Yes.
In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, Paul talks about the gospel in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, and he says that if we would confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved.
Amen.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. You see, when you come to receive Jesus, you must receive the Jesus of the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. And listen, I'm not here to talk bad about Muslims or Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons. Don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say. But when you go and look at the Mormon religion, the Mormon Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible.
That's right.
They're going to say, yes, Jesus, we believed in you. We talked to you. We sang about you. And Jesus said, you didn't know me and I didn't know you. The Jehovah's Witness will say, yes, we believe in Jesus. They won't acknowledge Jesus as Lord because that means he's God. But they'll say, yeah, we believe in him. But when you look at who they believe in, they're believing in a different Jesus. You have to accept the Jesus of the Bible.
Amen.
Listen to me. The Jesus of the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament.
Right.
You say, well, I don't really like God too much in the Old Testament. Tough luck.
Amen.
You know who needs to change? You do.
Right.
He is Lord.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 2 says this, every knee shall bow.
Right.
He said, preacher, I'm not going to let somebody just order me around, tell me what to do. You're like the young man who was so eager to get out of his house, he said, I'm going to join the Marines. And I'm tired of mom and dad telling me what to do. Well, don't join the Marines. You don't want to be told what to do and demanded that you do it in certain physical ways. Stay away from the Marines. I'm not going to have Jesus as my Lord. You can reject him if you want, but let me tell you something. One day, along with the devil himself, you will bend the knee and you will acknowledge, yes, yes, Jesus, you are Lord. I rebelled against it my entire life, but you are Lord.
Yes. Bless the Lord.
Let me ask you something. Why wait till that day?
Right.
You will, but you have a chance now to willfully and joyfully admit, Jesus, you are Lord. Amen? Is that true?
Yes.
Why on that day just have to acknowledge it because out of just fear of his very presence and existence? They said with their lips Jesus was Lord, but guess what? Their heart never said it. If their heart said it, let me tell you what would happen. You listen to me?
Yeah.
If their heart said it, then their life would emulate that. And they would start saying, listen, you know why? You know what I have to do because Jesus is Lord? Well, I have to change my attitude toward my wife.
That's right.
I got to start treating my neighbor in a nicer, kinder way.
Yes.
I got to quit cutting people off in traffic.
Yes.
I got to love people.
Yeah. Yes.
I've got to forgive people. I got to be kind to people.
Yeah.
If Jesus is living in your heart, those things will be evident in your life. And notice their practice. They made that proclamation, Jesus was Lord. But what was their practice? Jesus said, you call me Lord, Lord. But what? He said, you don't do what I tell you. Anyone? You say, Lord, but you don't do anything I tell you to do. Why are you going to call me Lord and then turn around and just go ahead and do what you want to anyway? In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, he said it wasn't just that they ignored his commandments. They actually tried to do certain things. Right?
Yes.
But what were they doing in the end? He said, it was lawlessness. It was iniquity.
Right.
Here's a part of the gospel nobody wants to tell you anymore. If you're going to have eternal life, you have to repent of your sins.
Amen.
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 Now listen to me. Don't get what we do sometimes is we just get bogged down in something. What repentance is this? When you were born with a selfish gene. Have you ever noticed that even among the grandbabies? You know, you love them to death, and then all of a sudden you realize, man, these guys are really selfish.
Yeah.
You know? Well, we had one day, she was there, and she'd got some new toys, you know, and then the other grandbabies come over, and she put the toys on the couch. She said, she covered them up with her arms, and she said that word, what? What's mine! She didn't want nobody touching anything that, mine! He said, did y'all teach him to be selfish? No. You know what's wrong? When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, death passed upon all men, and all men became selfish. And you know what? Where that selfishness leads us to? It leads us to saying, I know God wants this, but I want this. That's what selfishness is, right? Jesus says, come and live this way. And we say, no, it cramps my lifestyle, Jesus. I'm not going to do that, Jesus, because I want to do this. And if you're ever going to be saved, heaven bound, you have to come to a place in your life that you say, listen, I'm no longer going to live for Tommy. I'm no longer going to live for myself. I now will live for Jesus. I'll go where Jesus wants me to go. I'll say what Jesus wants me to say. I'll live the way Jesus wants me to live. And listen to me. Are we all perfect in that? No, we're not all perfect. But listen, there should be an evident effort on our part. And if there's not a clear effort on our part, something's wrong.
Amen.
You know, I wish after that I became a follower of Christ, I wish I could tell you this morning, I never sinned another time. I wish I had that testimony. My testimony is this, I've sinned so much, I'm ashamed of myself, even after my conversion.
We all.
I've sinned so much, even after my conversion, I'm ashamed of myself.
Yes, me.
But you know what the bent of my heart has been since I met Jesus? It's been to do what Jesus wants.
Yeah.
Amen. And when I sin, I'm hurt that I hurt him, and I'm sad that I failed him again. And I want to get to his presence and seek forgiveness and tell Jesus one more time, Jesus, you are right and I was wrong.
Amen.
Please forgive me. And you know what that's led to sometimes, Brother John? That's led to me going to other people and saying, look, I'm sorry. I should not have said that. I acted wrong. I've sinned against you, and I need your forgiveness as well. Amen?
Amen.
Why is that the bent of my heart? Because when I met Jesus, I turned from living for myself to live for him. Can I ask you something? Has there ever been a time in your life that you truly turned from living for yourself and you turned to live for Jesus Christ?
Yes.
If there has not been a time in your life where you turned from self to this, by the way, who are you living for today?
Jesus.
Some of you would have to say, preacher, I've been living for myself for a long time. And I plead with you this morning to make sure that you get things right with God, because you're not going to live forever in this world. Your time here is real short. Listen to me. Real short. And if you die in the condition you're in right now, some of you may be cast into hell. You don't want that, and we certainly don't want that either. Amen?
Amen.
So, Jesus said, what was their practice like? What is your life like?
Amen.
If someone followed you home and spent a couple of days with you, what would they say?
Amen.
Well, they say, man, I've lived around a real Christian. By the way, that don't mean that you have to 24/7 at the house say, praise the Lord, you know. But just by living a Christian life, it's a different life. Amen?
Yeah.
What the words that come out of their mouth are different words. Amen?
Amen.
How they treat others, that's different. And so what's the practice of your life? If you're living for yourself, not for Jesus, please come to Jesus. Listen to me. Here's the potential. Jesus ended with this. He said, you can either build your life on sand or on Jesus, on the rock.
Amen.
And can I tell you good news this morning? The good news is, if you've already been building your life on sand, guess what you can do? You can start building on a rock. That's not a permanent condition.
No.
He was building his house on a rock. This one's built on the sand. It doesn't have to be permanent, right? If you're building on sand, your life falling apart, look at what's happening all around you. See the effects of sin. Can you see the effects of sin all around you? You know, when I was a young man, I was saved around 16, 17. And one of the reasons I came to Christ as a teenager is the Holy Ghost was pricking my heart, and he was saying, Tommy, look what you're doing to your life. You're destroying your life. Look, at 16, the Spirit of God started convincing me, Tommy, everything you touch falls apart. You are destroying everything around you. You're going to ruin your life. If you stay in charge of your life, you're going to destroy your life. That's one of the reasons I got saved, because I knew, man, I'm making a mess of my life.
Yeah.
You know what I was doing? I was building on sand. And you don't have to keep building on sand.
That's right.
Yep. Look at what's happening. Do you see the fruit of the Spirit of God working in your family? Do you see your grandchildren coming to Christ?
Yes.
Do you see your kids loving Jesus? If you see the work of that, praise God, you're being an example following Jesus. If you see them going after sin and the world and ungodliness, say, look, maybe I need to change my own heart so that I can get them to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
I'm pleading with you this morning. Come to Jesus Christ and be saved.
Yeah.
Truly make Jesus Lord of your life today. Amen?
Amen.
So, Lord, I don't want to just claim that you're Lord of my lips. I want you to be Lord in my heart.
Yes.
Come in, Jesus, and save me. I promise you this, if that is a sincere prayer of yours, Jesus will.
Amen.
He will. He will come in, and he'll change your heart. He's already knocking on it. All you have to do is open the door. Amen?
Amen.
And if you open that door, I promise you, Jesus will come in. And you'll never regret inviting Jesus in your heart. Amen? Let's stand for prayer. Father, please help us now, because there's an important decision that we have to make.